I want to touch on recruitment.
Yep.
Recruitment of salespeople
yep.
is without doubt up there as number one or two
yep.
as key strategies to drive businesses forward, finding good people.
Sure.
You're good at that. Give me one of the reasons.
Look, I believe I've been instrumental across our group in addition to John in creating an attraction business. And what I mean by that is if I've got the environment right internally across all our offices, well, what happens when our salespeople are out in the market externally and, they create relationships and so forth and so on, and, our competitors will ring our salespeople and say, what's it like there? And I've created a culture where I won't go and recruit people. I'd rather the agents tell me and the salespeople tell me who they want to work with and build their own environment.
Do you get the heads up?
Absolutely.
Your agents?
I don't recruit anybody without signing off with all the sales team. I don't just go and plonk someone in the middle and say, hey, welcome, here's Tom, welcome him in. I get the entire group and I get them to sign off with a view that when Tom comes in that he's part of the family immediately. He gets the arm put around him, he gets taken to listings, and the reward for that is that anything that Tom brings in, he'll probably ask them to assist, and part of that fee initially will be shared out amongst the group, and I'll support that, whether it's me adjusting a fee initially to help everyone share in the success of Tom's entry, right. As opposed to Tom comes in and they don't say hello to him for the first 3 months. So that won't happen in our environment. A lot of the agents that have been attracted to us have come through my sales team.
Right.
Salespeople will call me and say, Matt, I've got someone I'd like you to interview, as opposed to me having to get out there and attract people in.
So you don't do a lot of cold calling of recruitment of people?
No. The way it's worked and continues to work is that I'd rather our salespeople, because they've got to work with their peers,
yeah.
I'd rather them sponsor people in. So what I'll say to them, look, who do you know and who do you like and who do you trust in your market? And often they'll be someone that they'll be already talking to through a conjunction or what have you, and they'll often come to me and say, I've been speaking with X, can you get in front of them? I think they'd be good for us. They would work in our team. So it's not a scarcity mentality, Tom, where I often go into offices in other groups I've been asked to go into over the years, and I hear when I talk to the principals, who I've got a lot of friends in the industry, they say, my problem I've got is that I can't hire because no, they don't want to work with anyone. And see, that culture of, no, we need more people is our culture. So, no one has 100% market share. So if they don't have 100% market share, they're charged with building more market share, because 1 + 1 = 11 in our world.
Okay, so what you're saying is have a super relationship with your people.
Correct.
You're also saying create a paradigm and a mindset that if a good person joins the business, the salesperson that's referring you to that person is going to benefit out of it.
Absolutely.
And that is the sort of thing that encourages you getting leads of potential people.
Yeah, and you're exactly right. And the other thing, Tom, is that yourself and I know myself, if I bring somebody into a business where I'm already working in, I'm going to do a lot more for that person because I've already got a relationship. I'm going to put my arm around, I'm going to come to the listings with me. Their speed to zero to hero is cut down 50% because they've got the support of the incumbent agent who's already in that market saying, I'll put your name on all my boards, come to the listings with me, I'll assist you, I'll get you integrated in. So the agent's actually doing a mini version of a sales manager,
right?
And supporting that person through. So I'll then support back the agents with call-ins and all those types of things, even though they're on a transparent sort of model in our company. I will still support those people with those referrals from property management and the extras, the little bonuses for them bringing on people into our culture that are like-minded to them.
Does John McGrath ever get involved in the recruitment of salespeople?
Some people call John direct. He likes to meet you know, his team, obviously. He's very hands-on, John, as you probably know. Tom, done a few training sessions with him. He's hands-on. He really likes to focus. He really likes to know who's within the team. But day-to-day handling of those, because John's obviously extremely busy, so I try to use his value where it's best used for us.
Right. Next question I'm going to ask you, Matt, is just before we started the interview today, I heard you saying you've got a 5 o'clock listing presentation. You go to listing presentations?
Yep.
On your own or with people?
No, I've had to not spread myself so thin with the 8 offices I'm looking after now, projects included in that, and property management. So I've had to...
So property management is your baby?
Yeah, the company property management division, there's a GM of that group, and the GM reports through to me, because we built that back from scratch about 4 years ago now. So you've got
property management, yours?
Yep.
Project marketing?
Project marketing.
Yours?
Yep.
Residential sales?
Residential sales.
Yours?
Yep, correct.
Sales managers across the group coming into you?
Yep.
You managing and adding value to top performers like Bethwyn?
Yep.
Ben Collier?
Yep.
That have got big teams?
Yep.
And then in addition to that, because you're writing $1 million a year and over for a period of time, you still get, you're on the shopping
correct.
List, you get calls,
yep.
like the call that came from the strata
yeah.
manager.
Yep.
So... you either handle those yourself or generally you pass them on to an agent?
So the default, Tom, back for that position is what's best for the client. It's not best for me to actually handle that anymore. A, because I'm just too stretched with what I'm doing. That would really stretch me and not be the best thing for the client. So I pick the best salespeople for that client.
Right.
And the best, it's not always the best salesperson or the one writing the highest amount of this. I pick the person for the person. And that's a real skill in itself, and that's a luxury I've got, because when they do call me past clients, I say, look, I can choose from a whole lot of agents, but I'm going to pick this one for you because I think they will relate to what you're trying to achieve, your goals, and where you want to head to.
Right.
And that's the beautiful thing I've got. So you know, I was lucky enough, I worked it out really early in my selling career, that the only way I was going to really get ahead in real estate was I needed to surround myself by people who were talking to sellers before they were talking to their real estate agent. So if I just rephrase that, I had to find the people that were talking to people that were going to sell their property
yeah.
first before they called the real estate agent. Then what I did is I went and made business contacts and friendships with those people
yeah.
and I created a group. So who are those people? You know, accountants, lawyers, strata managers, bank managers, valuers, builders. They're all the people that a seller of a house calls first.
Yeah.
before they call the agent.
Yeah.
So I wanted to get on those contact shopping list and build a business, which I did very fast, and that took me about 4 years to perfect, and I created a business group where today, as you just saw by fluke, you know, as he was there, I got that email about someone selling and could I come out and look after them. And then today I'm going to a listing presentation of a client I sold to 10 years ago for their brother. Now, they've called me up, and it's the care factor of... you know, me saying, look, thank you very much for that. That's gold. You know, I haven't done any personal promotional prospecting of my own business for 10 years. I've actually tried to downscale it over the last six since this role. However, is the benefit of my existence, I suppose, still in the marketplace as my colleagues. So I can give these listings out, and I can also check the pulse of how the agent's handling, and I can coach and manage whilst I'm watching how they're handling and negotiating the sale. Very good hands-on way of doing it.
Okay. Matt, you work hard, right? John tells me you work hard. I see that you work hard.
Okay.
You work Saturdays.
Yep.
You go to opens. You visit your offices, you go up to auctions to try and wrap up sales
yep.
and help people.
Yep.
You come into the office at 7:38.
Yep.
Do you get tired? Are you still pumped and motivated? Do you enjoy this more than selling?
I Look, that's a good question. I think once a salesman, always a salesman. So there's that sales thrill of the chase always in
you. You still love putting deals together.
I still love putting deals together. But what I do now is I help my colleagues put deals together. And that somehow, in a way, as warped as this might sound, it's actually more rewarding to know that you've given someone a piece of evidence and a piece of advice, and they've gone out and they've done that, and they've come back and they've gone, you know, you're a genius, I got that deal over the line. So there's more gratification in that. Look, I love the, you know, everyone loves to put a few bucks in the till, but the way my sort of role is split these days, it's dissipated because I need to share it out to the group. So for me, it's not really a big part of my income stream now. It's more the satisfaction of being able, the customer, to have the McGrath experience, me to be over the top of the sale indirectly because the agent's reporting back to me on what they're doing every day. In terms of am I tied? I reckon I hit the pillow, Tommy, sort of about 9:30 at night, and I'm gone till about 4. Right. I'm unconscious. Right. So I don't know if that's normal. Any medical people watching this might say, you're on a short run in your life, you better start. But I literally hit the pillow and I'm gone.
And then you wake up at 4?
I went up at 4. I've been trying, you mightn't be able to tell on this tape, I've been trying at the gym very hard 3 days a week. And I've been trying to do that bit of travel on at the moment. So I've been doing minimum 2 days a week, which has got a personal trainer. And I've been doing that for the last 2 years. That's really increased my energy levels higher again. I've got so much to do all the time where I just don't get tired of what I'm doing because there's so much to achieve. I'm only halfway to where I really want my group and my colleagues to be in this space, which is exciting. There's another halfway to go yet, even, and that's a good thing with the group, with Jeff Lucas and John McGrath heading up the team, is you know, they're big picture thinkers. So you know, we'll get to a fork in the road, and the fork will, you know, it'll be the end of the horizon, and the horizon will appear again, you know, sort of thing. So you know, that's the great way about the way.
Does it help being a shareholder to drive your behaviour?
Yeah, absolutely. That has definitely been a game changer for me, because obviously having a financial interest in the company has been a massive change to put those hours in. I did work extremely hard when I was in sales, because at the end of the day, the harder you work in sales, the more money you make. It's as simple as that. You know, I never had water cooler conversations when I was an agent. I did a huge amount of networking, still do. I did most of my business out of the office.
Yeah.
I think one of the types of things I'm known for in the group is if I'm going to meet a salesperson, I never do it in the office. I go and we'll go and get their car washed together and we'll have a chit-chat, or we'll go and have a coffee out of the office. I find that's the salespeople and my managers find that I've got more time. That to me is my little personal one-on-one time with them, where I might take my manager and let's get your car washed. And I'll sit with them, and then I'm undivided attention as opposed to in the office. And as you know, we've got an open environment here, so people waving at me and saying I've got that deal over the line or whatever. I'm with that person. So I've found that's a personal touch of mine that works extremely well. It might be just a coffee on my way into the office, but I'll meet 4 people on the way in.
Yeah.
I'll fill every hour of every day with something. There's not one of my hours of the day has something that's not happening in there, because otherwise I've got to make something happen.
Okay. Yeah.